Praise the Lord, everybody, everywhere. Welcome to Church Online right here at Kingdom Life Church. I'm excited to share the word of the Lord today. It is Pentecost Sunday. Yes, 50 days from Passover, 50 days from first fruits, 50 days from the celebration of our resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And now we are here celebrating Pentecost Sunday. If we were all gathered together this morning, if we were in one place with one accord, the Spirit of the living God would fill all the house. But because we serve a God that is omnipresent, I am praying and believing that the Spirit of God is going to fill the house right where you are. And when I say the Spirit of God fills the house, I'm talking about every aspect of your life, not just your physical location, but may he fill your heart. May he fill your mind. May he fill your spirit. May he fill your career, wherever you are employed, your business, your entity, your idea, your dreams, your relationships, every aspect of your life. I am praying that the Spirit of the living God fills it to the brim until it is running over. That's my prayer for you today. Before we jump into the word of the Lord, I want to give you a quick update on where we stand on reopening. We are dealing and wrestling with an issue that we have inside of our physical location concerning our roof, and we're trying to get it handled. It's taking a little bit more time than we anticipated. Until we can get that solved and done, we cannot come back to worship. And so we're asking you to be patient with us and continue to be prayerful. If you want to read about it or see some of the things that we're dealing with, go to our Facebook page at the Kingdom Life Church, and you can read the statement and also see the photo of what we're trying to handle and what we're trying to resolve. But your safety is the utmost importance to us, to make sure that you are safe when you come back to worship, to make sure that the environment is sanitized and clean. Is a paramount important to us, and we will not let that happen. We will not let you come back until all those things are in place. I can promise you that. But please do not be weary. Do not be of a heavy heart. We will be back together soon, and we look forward to coming back to worship the Lord together in one place on one accord. Let's go to the word of the Lord this morning. I want to share with you what the Holy Spirit dropped on me today. And it is somewhat unique and different and fresh from what I might, you know, preach on a Pentecost Sunday, even though I'm right in the heart of the moment and of the text of where the Spirit of God comes into the presence of the disciples as a culmination, as a coronation of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, ushering in the kingdom of God. That's what real Pentecost is about. And as this text, Acts 2, sets the stage for this, I want to bring us to the post moment of the Spirit of the Lord filling all of the house, to Peter standing there preaching the gospel and explaining to the people who are in the same location. I want you to get this before we even jump into the text. They're in the same location. They're in the same place, but they did not get what the disciples got. And so I want to talk with you from that place, from that position, that you have something. That's my title this morning. Let's go into the word of the Lord. Acts, the second chapter. We're going to pick this up in the 14th verse, and I'm going to read 7 verses of scripture to you, which will fall down into the 21st verse. And the Bible says this, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to preach to you from the top portion of the scriptures that I just read to you that says, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour. But this is that. It's what the King James Version says. I'm reading from New King James Version. But this is that. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. I want to talk to you for the next few moments we have together from the title, You Got Something. Yeah, I got something. I got something. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this moment, this opportunity to hear a word from you, to receive a word from you. Father, without a word, how can we live? It is the word that is the only thing that can separate soul from spirit and discern the intentions of our heart. Father, we ask that you speak such a word to us today that it changes our very nature and that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, that we might be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts, soars open to receive this word, anoint our ears that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing in this moment is that you have your way. Do whatever it is you want to do, for this is your moment. This is your opportunity that you have appointed unto us to receive all that you have for us. And so we open our hearts and we open our minds and we open our will to receive all that you have for us today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This particular text, this particular portion of the scripture is extremely powerful and rich, if you will, in its content because it's speaking to us in multiple ways. Really about our destiny. And so I want to lay out for you as I sit and teach this message for your hearing and for your spiritual growth and development. I want to carve out of this particular narrative a few key things that I want to talk with you about in this message. The first thing I want to talk with you about is destiny fulfillment. I want to talk with you about that because you have to understand that destiny is inextricably linked to identity. If you don't know who you are, then you're not going to know what you have. The second thing that I want to talk with you about is as it relates to the fulfillment of what is destined for your life. I also want to talk about dream killers. I want to talk with you about the individuals who may be surrounding you at your moment of feeling that are going to argue and be obstacles in your way as it relates to the dreams that are in your heart. Dream killers. And then after I talk with you about dream killers, I want to finally bring you down to the place of talking about your destiny defined. and I think if you can stay with me for a little while, if you can stay with me for this brief moment, that you'll receive everything that God wants for you today through this word. We are coming to this moment in time called Pentecost Sunday. The first thing that I want you to understand about Pentecost is that Pentecost is not really just a Sunday. Pentecost is a season. I want to say that again. Pentecost is not a Sunday. It is not the day when the Holy Ghost fell. Pentecost, according to Scripture, is actually a season. During the season of Pentecost, it comes, if you will, 50 days after the resurrection or after Passover. There were three great festivals that the Lord gave or appointed to Israel. And in those three feasts or festivals, it was the Feast of Passover, and it was the Feast of Pentecost, also known as the Feast of Weeks. And then there is the Feast of Tabernacles. And those are the three great feasts that God gave to Israel in the book of Leviticus to mark the times and moments and seasons and milestones in their lives. Passover, of course, is the culmination or the recognition or the remembrance of death passing over Israel and them coming out of Egypt. Passover is also tied and connected to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've just come out of the season of Passover, and we are entering into the season of Pentecost. Pentecost was the moment, it was the milestone, the mark that marked 50 days after the Passover. Pentecost means 50. And it was a Jewish harvest festival. And so right after Passover, there's always Pentecost. Right after the incorruptible seed is sown, there's always harvest. And so Pentecost season is harvest season. Somebody just help me out right now as I'm teaching this thing, and I already feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're coming into harvest season. If we can stop for a moment to realize, as Jesus told the disciples, don't say that harvest is such and such a time. No. You need to understand that harvest is now. The harvest is plenteous. But he then describes to the disciples the problem. The laborers are few. And so you're coming into a season. We are coming into a moment. We're coming into an era. We're coming into a time frame where spiritually, prophetically speaking, according to Scripture, we're stepping into a season of harvest. Pentecost is the largest or the longest season of those festivals. Pentecost is celebrated, if you will, all the way to the Advent, all the way to the time, or what we would call the birth of Jesus Christ. So in other words, it goes all the way into the last season or into the last festival after the Feast of Tabernacles. Harvest is still coming. I feel like preaching. And so this moment that we're in, this moment that kind of defines where we are spiritually is important for us to grasp and to understand so that you can distill why the Spirit of God is talking to you about destiny fulfillment. And so it is Pentecost that happens and takes place for 7 full weeks. And that is the 50 days that we're talking about. These 7 full weeks. And as that happens, then in the text, we understand that we're walking into the fulfillment or the fullness of that requirement. It has been 50 days since the Lord has resurrected. And for 40, if you will, appearances or times that the Lord showed himself unto individuals. And the Bible describes 8 appearances because 8 is always the number of new beginnings. And so Jesus shows himself 8 times in Scripture post-resurrection because 8 is always the culmination or the sign or the indication of a new beginning. And so he's saying there is a new era, there is a new time, there is a new moment, there is a new season that the church, that his people are about to walk into. And it should not be lost on us in this moment, as I'm in the beginning of this message, that you and I are coming into a new beginning. We're coming into a new season, because no season lasts forever. What does that mean? It means, though, in the middle of these two festivals that the Lord marked for Israel, he marked Pentecost as the longest season during that sacred year of their calendar. Pentecost then begins the Monday after what we know as Pentecost Sunday, or the day of Pentecost. And it lasts until the season, or until the fall, if you will. It lasts anywhere between 22 and 27 weeks, depending on when Easter took place or when resurrection took place. And so what that means is that you really don't know, okay, when the season of Pentecost, Lord have mercy, is really starting, and the only mark you have is the resurrection. And so now we know we've come out of the resurrection, and it has been 50 days, 7 full weeks that have now brought us into this moment called Pentecost. And now, after the fulfillment of 7 full weeks, we're now stepping into a season of harvest. Are you with me so far? Right there in the comments, right there on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer, if you got me up on your TV, it doesn't matter. Somewhere, write it down, put it on paper, put it out there in the atmosphere, that you are stepping into a season of harvest. You're stepping into a season of harvest. To understand what is going on here, Peter is the one that is standing up explaining to the individuals who are in the same place, in the same room, in the same vicinity, in the same location, if you will. I know historically we want to understand and to believe and to think that this is what is called the upper room, and they're having this upper room experience. But a little bit of study will help you to understand that when Jesus commanded them to go back into Jerusalem, they went into the temple rejoicing. They went into the temple rejoicing and praying, because they were waiting, if you will. They were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit to come. And as they were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit to come, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that they were all in one accord in one place. Somebody help me out. The place that they're in is in a portion of the temple, if you will. And the Bible says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house. It didn't just fill some of the house. It filled all the house. I want you to get this down in your spirit, because it's important for you to get this and don't miss this point, that it didn't fill some of the house. It filled all the house. Can you say all with me? Not some, but it filled all of the house. And so when it came, this is the year, if you will, that when this happened, when this took place, all right, that when it came, you got 120 disciples who have obeyed the instructions of the Lord. And they are in Jerusalem, where the Spirit of the Lord is about to fall. The problem is that I know historically all of us believe that this was an upper room experience. But Jews observing the day of Pentecost would have been in the temple to pray and to offer sacrifices unto the Lord. And so Luke tells us, right here in the book of Acts that the sound from heaven was like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house. Watch me now, where they were sitting. The idea that traditionally tells us that this was an upper room dates all the way back to the Byzantine era. Okay, century past the actual time frame of when this happened. And it was the Byzantines that believed and relied on the Latin translation rather than the Greek translation of the words that Paul was speaking. And so that led them to assume that this was the upper room where the Last Supper took place. But this is not what Luke is talking about. Luke's account says that the house was filled with sound completely. What house was he talking about? Well, in ancient Hebrew, it brings us to this place of literally understanding the mountain of the house. In other words, there's only one place in scripture that is referred to as the mountain of the house. Isaiah prophesied it in Isaiah 2:2, and Micah prophesied it in Micah 4:1. And what they prophesied as referring to the mountain of the house was the temple, the temple on the mount in Jerusalem, where the feast of Shavuot or Pentecost was being celebrated. And so the crowd that was there and the numbers of those who were in this place after the preaching or should I say prior to the preaching of Peter will come to be 3,000 people who would flood this inaugural event. Well, how many of you know that 3,000 people wasn't camped outside of the upper room? It could not be the case. And so where would be all of these wonderful people that were there celebrating, which was a traditional religious event? This is the temple. And so you have to understand then that the Spirit comes in this moment and fills all the house. The disciples, the 120 of them, were participating in the prayers in the temple. Because this was a major feast. Come on, let me walk this thing out with you. This was a major feast. And so they were in one corner of the temple. Because this was the band that really were the outcasts of all of the Jewish faith and population, because these were the way followers. These were the individuals that followed Christ. And so the 120 were in a small corner known as the house, if you will, of the temple. And they're there in this moment, participating in the prayers. And this one little corner of the house that 120 individuals who were in giving sacrifices and drink offerings, if you will, because that was part of the feast, that they would offer these drink offerings unto the Lord. And it was being made at 9:00 in the morning. And so as they are participating in the temple, which is a part of this whole process, the individuals that were in there with them did not receive what fell. Lord have mercy. I want you to get it. I want you to get it. 120 people are around thousands of individuals, and the 120 people got something. You ought to put right there in the comment, I got something. I got something, regardless of who's around me, regardless of who understands it, regardless of who gets it. I got something. Those 120 people received the promise and the power of the Holy Spirit in that moment, to the point that when they started to speak in other tongues, when they started to speak in other dialects, that the individuals that heard them started to mock them and accused them of being drunk when they were filled with the Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. They were accusing the disciples. Listen to me carefully. They were accusing the disciples that they had gotten into the ceremonial wine in the temple that was set there for a libation offering. And they were accusing them of drinking what was to be a sacrifice in order to get drunk. Lord have mercy. But what really messes me up about this story is that when the promise of the Father was released from heaven through the ascension of the exalted Christ, who was now seated at the right hand of the Father, would release angels ascending and descending, would release the promise of the Holy Spirit to come. This wasn't done just in some discreet corner. This wasn't done just in some house in private. No, this was done in a public place. This is as public as it gets. Everybody who is Jewish is celebrating this festival. Even in folk that are proselytes, people who are converting to Judaism, who weren't born Judas, are all celebrating in this festival. And this is where the Lord decides to outpour his Spirit in the moment where not everybody is going to get it. I feel like preaching right here. But these 120 people got something in this moment. Go ahead and put it right there in the comment again. I got something. I got something. I got something. And I want you to get this, because I'm about to release something prophetic into your life before I jump into my little points here. I need you to understand this. I need you to understand this. It came like a mighty rushing wind. It was the same wind, the same pneuma, the same wind of God that brooded or hovered over the waters in Genesis 1. That same wind that hovered over all of the chaos in Genesis 1 that was about to reorder everything in the earth. God once again is reordering everything in the earth by his Spirit. And there's going to be a fresh sound, and there's going to be a fresh wind, and there's going to be a fresh fire in your life. You better get all three of those right now in your spirit. There's going to be a fresh sound. There's going to be a fresh wind, and there's going to be a fresh fire in your life. You're about to be completely and totally rejuvenated, reinvigorated, re-inspired, reinvented, reordered, renewed and refreshed and revived. Everything in your life is coming back together again. And it's not going to happen in private. It's going to happen in public. Everybody's going to see it, but not everybody's going to get it. And this is where you've got to know that you know that you know, to borrow a line from my father. You got to know, my daddy always used to say, you got to know that you know that you know that you know. You've got to know who you are. You've got to know whose you are, because not everybody is going to get it. And it's not enough for you to say, it's not enough for you and I to bemoan the fact that they don't get it and shrug our shoulders and say words that are full of cliches, rhetoric that really don't mean anything. For example, haters gonna hate and all that stuff. And we start going about our business, but knowing on the inside, we still feel some type of way that everybody doesn't get it. You got to wrestle with that, and you got to deal with that in your heart. But there's going to be a fresh sound, a fresh wind, and a fresh fire. God, oh God, I feel the Lord, is about to do it again. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's about to reorder some stuff again. He's about to create some stuff again. And you're stepping into a new moment and a new season. So it's time for you to deal and to feel this birth pang moment. New seasons always start in travail. Birthing always starts in travail. And it ends in weeping. But those weeping are not tears of sorrow, they're tears of joy. Because you made it. Yeah, because you made it. And so here we are in this moment, this season of Pentecost. And it is Peter who was helping us, guiding us through this process of understanding we got something. Of all people, that would be the orator at this moment of history for the church. It's Peter. Oh, come on, let's talk about it. It's the guy that was the least likeliest candidate to be standing up in this moment, declaring what the prophet Joel talked about. Peter, the one who would cuss you out, the one who would cut your ear off. Peter, the one who denied the Lord, the one that the Lord rebuked. Peter, he has been converted. He has been changed. And now he stands up to give the commencement address of the old season so that the church could step into the new season. My God. He is the keynote in this moment to show us that we're stepping into a time of fulfillment of destiny that is ushering us into a new season where dreams are being birthed and unlocked and doors are being opened. And he's helping us to understand and to navigate all of the dream killers. It's Peter in this moment who is our guide. And so he stands up and he defends what they got by letting everybody know we are not drunk. It is 9 o'clock in the morning. And we haven't touched the drink offering. No, this is that that was promised. This is what the Lord was talking about, that he would not leave us comfortless, but he would send to us another paraclete, another comforter that would lead and guide us in all truth. This is what the prophet Joel was taught. This is the moment and the day. Oh God, I feel it right now. You're about to step into the moment, the day that you've been praying for, believing for, hoping for. And somebody hear me right now. You're stepping into it right now. You're in the season. And Peter is describing it to us. And while he's describing it, he's defending the moment because he's letting everybody know, this is a moment of destiny fulfillment, which brings me to my first point. You're in a moment of destiny fulfillment. What does that mean? What does that entail? It means that you're coming out the thickness of difficulty and disappointment. It means that the challenges that you once faced, the ones that overwhelmed you, the ones that were indescribable, are the ones that are fading away. And that when you hear the word destiny, that word doesn't seem out of place in your life anymore. Because you're not viewing this moment against the backdrop of survival mode anymore. You've stepped out of survival and you are stepping into flourishing. You step out of languishing and you're stepping into flourishing. You're coming out of simply surviving. You know that you've made it and now you are ready for this next season in your life. And so you realize that in this moment that you have the power, lay this point down, you have the power to define yourself. And the power to define yourself is greater than any obstacle, any setback, any disappointment, any heartache that have tried to come and diminish who you are. You have the power to shape your future and your destiny, and it is greater than any power of disappointment that has tried to stop or hinder you from moving forward. You have got the power to define yourself. That's what you have to understand about destiny fulfillment. Stop letting your situations and other folk define you based on what happened. It's okay for you to understand what happened to you and not have to try to get everybody to understand what happened to you. My God, I'm talking to somebody right now, because they're not going to get it. And so Peter stands up and says, we ain't drunk. And he doesn't spend a whole lot of time defending that fact. He says, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. This is that. Stop arguing with people about what they think you got or what they think happened to you, and start telling them what you do have. Come on here. This is good right here. This is good. I don't have time to argue with you about your opinion of me. You are entitled to that and you can hold that, but I don't have time for that. What I do have time to tell you, so that I can diminish the power of your opinion over my life, by letting you know what I do have. So me telling you that I'm not drunk is not so much for you as it is for me. Oh, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. I'm telling you I'm not drunk, not because for your benefit, I'm telling you so that I can let myself know, wait a second, that's not what I have. Because your opinion don't control the narrative in my life. I have the power to define what's going on up in here. And so if you're going to enjoy this season, if you're going to enjoy this moment of destiny fulfillment, you cannot surrender your hope. You cannot surrender your dreams. You cannot surrender what you know you have for anybody. Destiny fulfillment. Your ability to fulfill your God-given purpose and potential, watch me now, is already in you. You don't have to find it. You have to connect with it. I am preaching up in here. You don't have to find it. You have to connect with it. It was the disciples who said, Lord, will you at this time restore unto us the kingdom of the Lord? And the Lord said to them, it's not for you to know the times and or the seasons, but go wait in Jerusalem. All they're doing is waiting for it. They're not finding it. They're just waiting for it, so that they can connect with it. And in a corner of a temple that a massive amount of people are in, they got it. My God, I feel like talking up in here. They got it. And so your ability to fulfill your purpose and your potential is already in you. Just like your characteristics are already in you. Just like it's already in your physical being. You were born with it. It's innate. It's in your DNA, as my grandmother would say. As my Aunt Edna, who was a powerful preacher, would say, preaching is in your DNA. You can't run from it. It was in my DNA. I tried, but I couldn't get away from it. It's programmed in you. It's in you, and you have to connect with it. And so as you begin to connect with it, you'll understand it's unique, just as unique as your fingerprints. What God has for you is so unique that nobody else can fulfill it but you. My God, that's why you don't have a lot of time trying to argue with people about what you got and what you don't got. You can just inform them. No, I know what I got. I'm going to keep on moving. And so destiny fulfillment requires you to link up and to connect with your identity in a powerful way, because who you are, who you think you are, will determine a lot about what you're going to do in this season. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? When everything starts going bad and everything starts going sideways, you got to know down within yourself that destiny still remains. You got to know down within yourself that what you have in this moment is not going anywhere. That's what you have to resolve in your mind and in your heart. You have to know this because it is directly related and tied and connected to your identity. Your destiny is your identity. I want to be careful here. I want you to receive this sober. I want you to hear me clearly. Your destiny is your identity. The person that God created you to be is already linked to the purpose you were created to fulfill. So watch me now. Then your destiny then will be fulfilled and revealed through your conduct. Are you going to act accordingly based upon what you know you got? I'm talking right now. Are you going to conduct your life based upon what you know you have? Not just have it as a high point of walking around saying, I got something, but you're acting like you got something. You're walking like you got something. You're talking like you got something. You're preparing like you got something. Your circle looks like you got something. Everything in your life lines up with what you know you got. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your destiny is tied directly to your identity. And so it is the only way then you can fully recognize what you have is through your conduct. I'm talking right now. This is why Peter, when he stands up to say, we ain't drunk, instead of running, instead of hiding, instead of deciding to going back fishing, he has resolved all of his unfinished business with his identity. And he has now accepted the fact that he is the rock. My God, I'm preaching right now. He has accepted the fact of what the Lord called him a long time ago. He has now stepped into this moment and said, no, I am not Simon. I am not flaky. I am stable. I am the rock that Jesus called me. And that's how I'm acting. That's how I'm performing. That's how I'm talking. And he's standing up as the rock and he's letting everybody know, this is who I am. And this is what we have. And this is the moment that we're in. And he's explaining Joel's words. And Joel said prophetically that God will pour out his spirit, watch me, on all flesh. Oh, glory to God if I had time. On all flesh, on every identity. And your sons and your daughter, that means it's generational, will prophesy. And your young men, we'll see visions and your old men will dream dreams. And it's intergenerational. It doesn't matter your age or stage. It's happening for everybody. But you got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. And so it's almost as if Peter is packing his bags because he knows the church is moving. Lord have mercy. Into a whole nother season. And he's leading the group into this new place. And he realizes that it doesn't matter how far we've been in the trenches. And it doesn't matter how difficult our plights have been. And it doesn't matter how low we have sank, because our dream has always been there with us. The dream of becoming what God has called us to be. And doing what God has called us to do has always been with you. And it's still there right now. And so he says in these few words, this is that. I'm only preaching from this spot. This is that. And when he says those words, this is that, he addresses the dream killers. Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. Dream killers, individuals or people who will come and try and kill your dream. Dream killers. It's just not people. Dream killers are also processes. Come on, let me talk with you now. Come on, stay with me. The process could kill your dream. People could kill your dream. The process is the trial. The trials of life always provide the process. This is why Paul said the Lord will never place on us more than we can bear. He knows the exact amount of trial we can handle for our testimony. and he gives us according to what we can handle. But the trial sometimes can make you forgo the process. So much so that you won't explore your freedom to choose. You won't explore your freedom to move forward. You won't explore it because you feel lost. You feel lost. Peter went through that, where he felt lost, where he felt depleted, where he felt unworthy. And when he went back to what he was doing, he found the Lord again on the shore. In this season, you have got to find the Lord again on the shore of your expectations. You're not going to be able to do it without him. And when the Lord showed up on the shore, Peter jumped out that boat, John 21. He jumped out that boat and got to Jesus as fast as he could because he realized, I can't make it without him. Don't let the process kill your dream. God knows exactly where you are in that process. Not only can the process kill your dream or paralyze you to the point where you don't take responsibility for anything that's happening in your life and all that other stuff that we do and go through. I don't have a lot of time to park there, but I want to talk about the people that'll come and kill your dream. The dream killers, the folk that are in the temple with you, celebrating the same thing, but got something completely different. Oh, I'm talking good right now. They're in the same temple. And you've gone into another season of your life and they have accused you of being drunk. You've stepped into the fullness of what God promised and they accuse you of being drunk. Dream killers. Dream killers. If you have been alive for any amount of time, you've already come in contact with them. Dream killers. There are people that are assigned to your life to lift you up, but then there are people that will come in your life to do the exact opposite. They are the critics that don't come constructively. They are the naysayers who climb out from nowhere that have an opinion about the pursuits of your destiny. What is funny about dream killers is that they are the first ones to acknowledge what you got. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. Woo, God, I wish we were in church together. I would tell you high five somebody on this. Dream killers are the first people that says you got something. It was the folk in the room with them that acknowledged they had something. They just thought what they had was drunkenness. They're the first ones to acknowledge that you have something. They recognize your gift, but instead of encouraging the development of it, they tried to kill it before it matures. My God, I'm talking good up in here. Dream killers does not wear signs or uniforms that says that they are there to show up to kill your dream. They have no warning indicators on them that suggest that they are toxic. No. They're just there. Some of them don't even realize or understand on a conscious level that their words and their actions are destructive. These are folk that fly under the radar. And sometimes they become our closest friends. Sometimes they are the people that we depend on and count on. They're not malicious. They're not evil. They just don't know they're killing your dream. They're killing your whole vibe. Because there's something in you tugging you, pulling you away to grow and to develop and to be more than what you are right now. And as you're trying to embrace it, every time they say, it don't take all that. They shoot it down by often playing devil's advocate. and they're calling it wisdom. Wisdom can only be born of experience. And if you ain't been where I'm going, you can't tell me nothing, babe. Stop letting knowledge masquerade for wisdom. Just because you know something don't mean you've been through something. You read about it, but you ain't went through it. My God, I'm preaching up in here. So Peter is standing up going, no, no, you ain't been through what we've been through. This is that. You wasn't walking with him for 3.5 years. You didn't leave your business and everything that you hoped for so that he could make you fisher of men. I've been through something to get to where I am. This is that. Don't let anybody diminish your moment, because this is your defining moment. This is your defining moment. Dream killing is a fear-based activity. It's a fear-based activity. And the very root of it, I'm carving it out because I'm getting the dream killers out of your life. The very root of it is nothing but sheer jealousy, aimed at pulling you back because you're moving ahead of the crowd. The 120 people in the room started moving ahead of the crowd. And the crowd said, wait a second. Who do you think you are? I almost titled this message, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? I am what God said I am. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am more than a conqueror. I am what God says I am, not your opinion of me. And so you got to stand up to every dream killer in your life. That's not always easy. That's not always easy. Because the people in our lives are precious sometimes. But you know, you have to say sometimes to them, I'm sorry. I commend you to God. I love you. We'll always be cool. But I got to go where God is calling me to go, and I got to do what God is calling me to do. I can't stay here anymore. This is a defining moment in my life. This is my harvest season. And I've stepped into a moment of destiny fulfillment. I know who I am, and now I've got to stand up to my dream killer so that I can embrace my defining moment. Because this is the defining moment of my destiny. This is the defining moment where I know where I'm going. See, it's when you are unsure of where you are that you become unsure of where you're headed. But when you are in that place of uncertainty, that's when you're ready. That's when you are primed to know why you are. You're so busy trying to figure out where you're going and where you are that it didn't even dawn on you to answer this first question, why you are. Why you are is going to determine how much you are designed to accomplish. This is your defining moment. And God sent me this morning to tell somebody on this Pentecost Sunday that you're stepping into a season of harvest, and that every dream killer in your life is in for a rude awakening. Go ahead and type it in the comments right now and say, my critics are in for a rude awakening. I am in for a rude awakening. The critic in my mind is in for a rude awakening. Everything that thought it was going to stop me is in for a rude awakening, because this is that was the prophet Joel talked about. I'm stepping into the fullness of my assignment, into the fullness of my destiny, and I am ready to be used up of the Lord and poured out as an offering. I'm not drunk. I'm not naive. I'm not out of my mind. I'm fully in my purpose, and I'm ready to step into it. They are in for a rude awakening. Wait until they see what the Lord is about to do in and through my life. They're in for a rude awakening. This is the place that defines everything that you've gone through, everything that you've dealt with, everything that you've put up with. This is your defining moment. And destiny is about to be defined in your life. Your dream is about to go to work. Oh God, somebody hear me now. In the depths of their spirit, your dream is about to go to work. Your dream is about to go to work. Your dream is about to go to work. This is a harvest season for your life. Over these next 27 weeks, you're coming into a harvest season. Receive that prophetically into your life. Over these next 27 weeks, you're coming into a, you're going to be reaping. You're going to be reaping, and you're going to be sowing, and you're going to be reaping, and you're going to be sowing. And the moment you sow is the moment that you're going to reap. You're going to be reaping, and you're going to be sowing, because the enemy is in for a rude awakening. And every devil in hell that thought it stopped you is in for a rude awakening. And even though you were self-medicating throughout the whole pandemic, all of that is in for a rude awakening. You're coming out sober. You're coming out in your right mind. You're coming out still full of the power of the living God. There is no shame in this. Shame is not an inherent thing. Shame is guilt projected on us by other people's opinion. Come out of that shame. Nobody else holds power over you. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. This is your defining moment. And everything that thought it was going to stop you is in for a rude awakening. You're stepping into a harvest season because you got something. The seeds that have been sown in your life over the years, the sacrifices that you have made, the time of preparation that you have spent is all about to come to a head. This is that. This is that. This is that. My God, just put that in the comment. This is that. Of all of what God has promised. And I'm stepping into a season perpetual harvest in my life. Seed time and harvest will never cease. As long as I'm sowing, I'll be reaping. As long as I'm sowing, I'll be reaping. As long as I'm giving my time, I'll have time. As long as I'm giving my joy, I'll have joy. As long as I'm giving my love, I'll have love. As long as I'm giving my peace, I'll have peace. As long as I'm sowing my money, I'll have money. I am sowing and reaping. I am in a moment that is defining destiny, killing the dream killers, stopping the dream killers. I don't want you to kill nobody. Don't do that. Stopping the dream killers. Fulfilling my destiny. This is where you are. And I sat in this chair wanting to run around this room, hoping and wishing and praying that we were all in here together. But I still came to tell you, you got something. You got something. And the only person that matters to is you. You have to know it. You have to know greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That the gifts and callings of God upon your life are without repentance. You got something. You haven't lost it. It hasn't left you. You haven't missed it. You got something. Amen. and amen. I pray that this word encouraged your heart. I pray that it enlightened you, that it brought you some wisdom and peace, built you up. Share it with somebody. They need to hear it. We are in a season of harvest. And I'm declaring it right now for this entire house and everybody who is watching who have faith enough to receive this word. You are stepping into a season of harvest. Pentecost is here. It's time to reap. The Bible says you shall reap if you faint not. That's why the dream killers want you to quit, want you to throw in the towel, want you to leave your post, want you to think the grass is greener somewhere else, want you to start the process all over again because they know the process is going to get the best of you. Don't you give in. Don't you do it. You shall reap if you faint not. And it comes in due season. And I came to tell somebody, dew is here. Oh my God, I feel like preaching. Dew is here. This is your due season. And if you are due, throw your hands up, put some praise emojis up there and say, I'm due, baby. I'm due. I'm due. And you've had a season of being faithful over a few things. Now God is taking you into a season of being ruler over much. It doesn't get any easier. I don't want us to miss it. The labor is still required. It doesn't get any easier. But you're used to it now. You know this is all process, cycles and seasons, and it's okay. Because no season lasts forever. You're in harvest now. I want you to declare it. I want you to believe it. And then I want you to put a seed on it. I want you to put a seed on it. I'm challenging 100 of you, 100 of you to put a seed on it. That's right. Put a seed on it. It's Pentecost. Challenging 100 of you to put a $50 seed on that word. If you don't, God bless you. And it doesn't mean that you're not in harvest. So please don't take my words and use them that way. I'm just saying in this moment of faith believing that I'm stepping into harvest. I'm doing it by declaring I'm putting a seed on that word in my life, that I'm stepping into a season of harvest, of a defining moment of destiny fulfillment, that the dream killers will be stopped in my life because this is that the Lord promised me and I believe it and I declare it. However you give, as you're giving your tithes, and I'm not talking about sowing the $50 as your tithe, give your tithe unto the Lord. So in the season of during the pandemic, many of us stopped giving and stopped tithing and stopped sowing. I'm challenging you to get back to that discipline, to that practice. If you're not there, if you don't have the ends, let alone to make the meat, honor the Lord with what you have. But don't stop. Don't stop. Because this is always unto the Lord. It's never unto man. It's always unto the Lord. And so put your seed in the ground. Trust God and watch him do what nobody else can do. For everyone else hearing this word, text give KLC to 73256. If that word touched you, if you want to take that on, go ahead and do it as unto the Lord. If not, God bless you. We love you. But I'm telling you, regardless of where you are, you got something. And I want you to step into it fully and become all that God has called you to be. You ain't got to wait on nobody. Step into it. This is that. The only person you got to wait on is the Lord. That's it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run. Not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. So it's all right if you're waiting on the Lord. But don't let other people's opinions stop you. Don't let the folk that don't get it stop you. You got something. And I want you to declare that all day, all week, all month long, going into June. I got something. And I feel this down in my spirit right now. I'm sorry, you might have tuned me off. You better tune me back in. Something's about to happen in your life. Something is about to happen in your life. My God. So give. Text give. Text the word give KLC to 73256. Give KLC to 73256. You can give on that platform. You can mail your offering in. You can go online, give there. You can download our church app on Google or iTunes and give on that platform as well. But do it as unto the Lord. Sow your tithe, sow your seed. We're in Pentecost, and it is a season of harvest. Now may God bless you, keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you, give you peace. May your loved ones come to know the name of the Lord. May he use you to bring them into relationship with him. When people see you, may they cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" And may you have an answer that says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." May God use your life as a beacon of hope and of love and of mercy. May his precious blood cover you from now into eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. See you next week.